or have been asked to read for Mark. James 3, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace by those who make peace. Amen.
Some of you would know me would remember that I sometimes do get a little bit emotional when speaking about the Lord. He creates a soft heart, I believe, takes a stony one away. So I'm hankyless, so I must keep it together today. But when you hear prayers that are centered on the cross and Jesus, something resonates in you, doesn't it? It's from that place where prayers will be healed and heard. Amazing. Thank you, Phil and Di. I'm just in the book of James again. It was quite a while since I was there last. And just in my private reading, I've just stayed in James. It's just such a great book. It's very practical. And if you're just with me, I just want just to talk and try and scratch the surface about wisdom. If ever there's a time that the church needs wisdom, I think it's constant, but in actual fact at the moment, it's wisdom from God. It is a gift of God. It's this actual passage here divides it into there's earthly wisdom and then there's heavenly wisdom. Boy, do we need heavenly wisdom. Yes, for church leaders, but individually. We really need wisdom in these times, and we will. I believe that we will face new hardships. I've had so much time just thinking about what's going on in different areas of the country, but also the world. We will face new challenges, I believe, in the church. Our challenge, I believe, will be that we will want, the risk is that we'll compromise things. It's really in my heart this morning to try and say we mustn't compromise on certain things that will try to come into the church. We must seek wisdom from the Lord Jesus. That's a big statement, but man, it's very true. It's happening already. Now, this wisdom, it's heavenly. It says here, but this wisdom, verse 17, this wisdom is from above. It's first pure. I kept thinking about lovely, pure water. You know, when you're thirsty and that lovely, it's first pure. Then it's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality. James talks about partiality before in the other chapter. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I've been trying to work out what wisdom is. And you may look at me and think, how's a young man talking about wisdom? You've got to be old to have wisdom, don't you? That's not true. If you look at Solomon, and James was quite a reader, I think, of the Proverbs. He was fully aware that Solomon asked, didn't he? Remember that dream he had? God gave him wisdom. So it's not just a barrier for younger people, okay? You can ask for this wisdom of God. It's a great gift that we need. What is wisdom? I'm thinking it's something that's without suspicion. It's without wrangling. Wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. And just in this reading, all I want to say this morning in some ways is this, that wisdom is always accompanied by action. Okay? If you have wisdom, and you just have wisdom and don't do anything about what God's told you to do, what is that? It's null and void. Do you know what I mean? Because previously, James talks about faith without works. Okay? You can't just have faith and that's it, and it just stays dormant. It's on the shelf. It's collecting dust. It's not, and that's what I love about James. When you have the wisdom from God, you're actually in the process of doing something. And he's very much about your day-to-day activities. What are you doing day-to-day in your lives? And I have something on my phone, and it pops up every so often. It says how long I've been online, or what I've been watching. whether it's been the news and different things. Just a question for you. How much are you on this or how much are you online? What are the things that you watch? This is for young people, older people. But that is a huge consumer of our time. We need wisdom in these days. And I'm saying it to myself. I sometimes look, man, I've been looking at BBC Sport for how long? And it only takes, 2 seconds to look that Liverpool have lost again. Wisdom in these days of what we do with our time. It's very practical. James talks very practically about the heavenly wisdom that comes down but then affects our daily life. Solomon said this, "Give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between doing good and evil." This is the thing that wisdom does. As we walk day to day, it will actually give us a discernment about what is right and what is wrong and how we should live. I think that's wonderful. What's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of God. That has been lost in this country. I often listen to and read a guy called Oz Guinness. And he says that our society now is described as a cut flower society. Basically, our roots have gone, our Christian roots have gone, and totally, I think, in some areas of even education, they are totally cut away. This is why right at the beginning I said we need wisdom. Wisdom in the church, I can see certain, I don't want to get into the thing of name calling, but there's a real risk that as churches, there's a compromise on even the interpretation of scripture coming in. Some denominations have almost nailed their flag to the post that this is the way we're going to go. I'm just thinking, oh Lord, Lord, give us your wisdom. Like Solomon, young, inexperienced. Responsibility was on the shoulders. Oh Lord, the heavenly wisdom, not the earthly one, the sensual one that you can make decisions for yourself. Maybe you can think, oh, I did it that time last, or that'll work again. It's not like that. It's something that comes from heaven, comes in and affects our daily living. Biblical wisdom unites God, the source of all understanding, with our daily life. And where the principles of right living are put into practice, in my workplace, is the place where I must, in some ways, show some wisdom. How to talk with people. I've done some reading over lockdown about how you reason with people, whether they call it apologetics or whatever they... But the main thing is you can learn about these things, but you actually need a playground to actually do the things, to apply it, and this is what James is about. Praise the Lord, I've got a little bit more, tiny little bit more wisdom about how to talk to someone about creation. Someone who doesn't believe. But just those little things, we need that wisdom, don't we? How to talk and how do we listen? Sometimes when not to say anything at all. Someone described James's comments on wisdom as wisdom with its work clothes on. I love that. It is wisdom with its work clothes on. And if you read in thinking about Solomon, that when he asked for wisdom and he got wisdom, I mean, the rise and fall of Solomon is incredible. But one of the first things that he had to deal with wisdom was a massive subject, was the two mothers, and one of them had passed away, the child. That was a huge thing. I won't go into it, we haven't got time, but he had to walk and practice that wisdom straight away. Just go with me. I chatted to someone recently. Well, I say recently. When you're in lockdown, you say something recently. It was actually 18 months ago. Okay, this was 2 years ago. It was a conversation I had before. We weren't allowed to have many conversations. But I talked to this young lad, and he said something. This is maybe just for younger people, younger adults. But he said, we were talking about how many of us do put our lives online, whether it's through different social media formats, platforms, but we do put our lives online. And in some ways we want to be liked, don't we? I think that's something in our society. We're itching to be liked. Really, basically, it's a heart that wants to be loved. and want to be loved by their creator. They've chosen not to be. And they're in a different path. But the temptation is that we want to be liked, and you're waiting for your little likes on your little post you put out. And he spoke to me and he said to me, Mark, he said, what really surprised me, I think he's about 21, he said, it's almost like they're building their foundation, their house on the sand. And I was thinking, well, that's a bit profound, that. And he's very true, he's very right. And I went and just reading here now, you don't need to turn there, but this is in Matthew, he said, build on the rock, verse 24, therefore, whoever hears, just remember that both heard, the one that built on the rock and the one that built, they both heard. It was the application that one missed out on. Therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain came down, and the song that we used to sing. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And it really spoke to me. That's what we hear, and then what we apply is one of the key things. And he just said that about the temptation now for young lives, of how long we're online for, how long, what we're putting online, what we're watching online. Wisdom. What we need is wisdom, what we do. And I know I've just mentioned young people and adults, it's across the board. It is across the board. Time spent, and I'm saying this to myself too. I'm also saying to myself this morning, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me that wisdom that's from above, not earthly. The pure stuff. Stuff that's in undefiled. Build on the rock. What's your foundation? What are your blocks that are in your life that the Lord's building on that will bring wisdom? Notice that actually he was building something. That means he was doing something. He was doing the daily grind, okay? For some of us, you can, if it's making teeth or whatever you're doing, if it's studying, and maybe it's a new course. We want the Lord's wisdom, don't we? It has to be how we work with people and how we deal with people and how we actually work, doing it well. Young people, choices that we're going to make. Maybe it's relationships that we're going to maybe encounter upon. Lord, wisdom. It's not a quick fix, I found, with wisdom. Not, you don't pluck it down from the wisdom tree and apply it into a situation. It's your actual daily living where you have a consciousness of the Lord through the Holy Spirit that he just pours in that wisdom, that gift. Wonderful. I asked my wife yesterday, she's not here so I can, she's listening in, isn't she? Oh, I forgot we're on Zoom. Hi, hon. Sorry, I'll get told off. But she's listening. And I asked her last night, I said, hun, I call her hun, are you wise? This is the conversation we have on a Saturday evening, you know. I was doing my homework. I said, Helen, are you wise? And she said to me, I had to write it down here. It's very simple, not simple from her, but she said, well, I think if you think you're wise, you're probably not. Again, I had to sit on the couch, try to work it out. And I thought, well, that's a wise comment, isn't it? Am I totally confusing you now? But there's a sense in which if you're so preoccupied with yourself and you think you're doing really well and you're the best, and it's the motivation of the heart is about wisdom, isn't it? And I did go on to say, you are wise, which she is. But it's very true, isn't it? When you start thinking, and that's what was Solomon's down. That was his downfall in a way. He started in his own pleasures that he wanted to actually, in the lust of the flesh, wasn't it? I just wonder if we could just go there. You don't need to turn there, but it says this. This is in 1 Kings about Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding. And here, I love this phrase here, and largeness of heart. Something that accompanies wisdom is this largeness of heart. Someone that can actually just, not just use your knowledge and intellect. This is why I'm so glad it's not that, because I think I'd be discounted. But with knowledge and intellect, that gift of wisdom comes in, and that altogether is wonderful, isn't it? It then expresses a largeness of heart. Someone that can listen to someone's possible argument. I was just thinking about Moses and Aaron, the contention with the congregation. The noise that was... I'm going off on one here, but I've read just... Anyway. But you just need that quietness of listening to maybe something. And then spending that time with the Lord, they have to get out from among the congregation, the people, and they have to lay themselves flat in front of the Lord, front of God, and say, God, speak to us. And then God said, go speak to the rock. And he didn't speak to the rock, did he? He went and hit it, got a bit frustrated, a little bit of foolishness, not wisdom. And that actually paid a price for him not entering the land. Anyway, going off on one there a little bit. But it's that thing's not a quick reaction. Don't quickly go out and smash the rock like Moses did. God said, speak to the rock. And I think that's that thing of wisdom, that thing of just the Lord. That gift just gives you that time to think, speak, maybe into a situation. Now listen to this. This is great. 24 minutes past. This is wonderful. This is Solomon again. This is in the Proverbs. And if you think of a man who was quite wise, I think he wrote over 1,000 Proverbs and things that even James was referring to. And that's incredible, isn't it? The Lord really did give him. But it says this in Proverbs. It says, chapter 4, verse 3. It says, starts off like this. Get wisdom! Exclamation mark. Get wisdom. I mean, how much plainer can you put it? For us now in our day and age and whatever we're moving in, oh, ask for wisdom. James says it earlier on in the chapter, and he says, ask for wisdom. Now, my question is, how do you ask? I don't know if you've ever been in a coffee shop, McDonald's. Someone goes up to the counter. I'll have a so-and-so. Give me the so-and-so. I think there's something in the asking. I think there's a humility that must come in. We must humble ourselves and approach the Lord, maybe a bit stooping down and say, Lord, give me your wisdom. We have this quick fix mentality of just a very nonchalantly walk, God, give me, almost God almighty rather than God almighty. I think I remember Les Wheeldon saying once as a young lad, that really quickened me. God Almighty, not God Almighty. We approach him humbly. Lord, give us your wisdom. Not an earthly one. It says here in Proverbs, get wisdom. We will need it as a church. I won't go into all the things that are coming in. It's in America. It's the political correctness, the things that will come into the church. You will not want to compromise. We've got to stay solid to the truth and to the word and get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. I love the description of wisdom as her. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. That's wonderful, isn't it? I'm not sure how you look at wisdom. Remember someone describing it as the three tens. And when you make a decision in your daily life, you've got to think, what will that decision, how will it have a bearing in 10 minutes time, 10 months time, and 10 years time? We often live in a society where we don't even think about 10 minutes ahead. We make a decision just pretty much on the quickly, and it has ramifications. And I keep thinking about, well, 10 minutes. And since I've heard that, I've tried to fit it into some sort of, it's quite hard. But it does make you think about the decisions that you make. I'm just even like a relationship that you're going to be entering into. A job that you're going for. Maybe what you're going to do in retirement. All these different things. What are the implications? 10 minutes. 10 months. 10 years. I'm so glad that I had a little bit of wisdom. I said yes when me and Helen got married. I was trying to think back about decisions in my life, about being wise, and I got a good one. I got an amazing one. She's not here now. She's listening, I'm sure. That's wonderful, isn't it? I'm so glad that the Lord gave me that little wisdom to make that confession of faith and get baptized. And to move up here in a new, you know, the same body, but new. You know those different, those major things in your life where you make changes. Oh, the wisdom of the Lord, how we need it. Get wisdom. Exalt her. Embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. Wow. Crown of glory. She will deliver to you. That's wonderful, isn't it? I just want to read. Sorry, my notes. It's just not worth doing notes, is it, these days? But it helps in a preparation. It is. Yeah, I have wonderful times with the Lord in my preparation. Not sure it always comes across, but I love it. I love driving home, and the Lord just puts in the thing of the, you know, the foundations, the rock or the sand. What are you being built on? You know, and he. And just one thing. This is a man from Exeter. He was a dentist, Anthony Norris Groves. Some of you would have heard of him. I've just ordered his book. He was down in the 18th, 19th century. And he just said this. I tried to find out where his practice was because I'm in dentistry, but I couldn't actually find it. It was so long ago. He said this, if your love glows towards him, this is Jesus, you will have almost an instinctive sense of what will please him. And that will prove to be a holy life when followed on from day to day. That's lovely, isn't it? That's just from his book. This is a man, missionary, that went out. And he went out without even church finances to Baghdad. He just went out and served, lost his wife out there. Incredible story. I'm looking forward to reading his book. I think it's a really thick one, so that might take me a couple of years. But, oh, the truth in it. What he gave up, went out in faith without finance, incredible. If your love grows towards him, you'll almost have an instinctive sense of what will please him. And that will prove to be a holy life when followed day by day. Oh, just remember the wisdom with the work clothes. James is about the day-to-day things. Incredible. Now, I know we're finishing here, but I just want to say, well, how? I've mentioned earlier about how you get wisdom. Well, you need to ask. It's dead simple. But don't ask in the old coffee shop mentality. I'll have so-and-so. It's not that. Just back in James again. Just want to finish here. Humility cures worldliness, it says in my Bible. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Here it goes. It says this in verse 7 of chapter 4. Therefore, submit to God. That's the big key thing. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Oh dear, that sounds a little bit. It's a beautiful sunny day and we're all. But there is a sense of this really is speaking to a motivation of heart, isn't it? There are some things you have to lay aside and get in place. And then it goes on, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Can I just start and say that the gift of wisdom is a wonderful thing, but it actually takes some action on the person, and that is to humble themselves, which means positioning yourself that the Lord can do something in your life. Maybe it's become very clustered with so many things. Maybe, and I was thinking this myself, maybe it's I'm spending the wrong amounts of time doing certain things. You know, it's fine learning about different things, but in actual fact, the Lord wants us to take that out into the societies that we live. And if we are living in a cut flower society, which I totally agree with, where there's even in education, the erosion of Christianity, the Lord will want the church to, in some ways, just be that humble people and wise. Wise with your family members that don't know the Lord Jesus. Wise in just listening to them. maybe hearing what's in their hearts first, and then say, Lord, speak to me. Aaron and Moses had to get away from the congregation because they were making a noise. I'm not looking around now because it's dead quiet. But amongst the congregation, there was noise. There was grumbling, complaining. And the fact is that that will be the case. There is that. But the Lord, in some ways, got Moses and Aaron to himself. And they were on the floor, flat down, and then he spoke to them. That's the same for our lives, isn't it? Get away from the noise. There'll always be the noise of, oh, we want to. I found it such a joy, actual fact, just finding the little quiet time at home and just listening out to what the Lord's saying. Along with this, reading what the Lord speaks to in the churches in Revelation about compromising. What's going to happen? The Lord always gives the opportunity to the churches to come and listen to what the Spirit is saying, doesn't he? Doesn't just abandon them. He just says, listen. And that's for us now, isn't it? We want to listen to what the Lord's saying to us. Our time is, let's just finish. Precious Lord. He's wonderful, isn't he? He's the rock. He's the foundation block that we should be building upon, whatever age you are. If you're young here this morning, you're listening in at Zoom, make those choices in wisdom that you want to build on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Wonderful. Wisdom produces meekness, and meekness increases wisdom. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? Lord, we pray for wisdom. Your wisdom, Lord, the heavenly one, Lord, not the earthly one. Lord, this morning our reliance is totally on you. Lord, as your body is members set in place by your wonderful hands, Lord, we do pray for wisdom, Lord, as we, Lord, in some ways there are changes afoot, Lord. Lord, restrictions being lowered, but we've never been restricted to our connection with you, Lord. Through all this time, Lord, your wonderful Holy Spirit, Lord, Lord, has carried on that wonderful work, Lord. We often get a bit loud and in some ways scare off the dove, the Holy Spirit, but Lord, it's always been working, always there available. Oh, Lord, would you equip us, Lord, Lord, as individuals set in place together. Lord, for those on Zoom in foreign countries, Lord, Lord, pouring again in their lives, Lord Jesus, all those in their communities, Lord Jesus. Lord, give those, Lord, wisdom, those that are making decisions, Lord. Precious Lord, we do love you this morning. Lord, and we fear you in the healthy way, Lord. And there is the beginning, Lord, of wisdom, Lord. Precious Lord. Amen, Lord.